coffee holders over here.
That's it.
Okay. All right, so in the pastor's retreat, Pastor Schaller mentioned, as you also, if you were here this morning, you heard Pastor Bailey mention the verses on like David holding up. David is like with the giant's head, and like he got a. I loved what Pastor Bailey said this morning. I look out at the you know, because we can easily look at ourselves in the mirror and think like, oh, what a mess up I am, right? or even look at each other that way. Oh, what a mess up you are. And maybe we feel better because the other people are just as bad of mess ups as we are. But actually, you know, like what we learn as the more we study the Bible, we learn the finished work, right? We learn the finished work. We learn that I am who I am by the grace of God, right? We learn that that the righteous one falls seven times, but what does he do after he falls? Every time, right? He gets up every time. How often? How many times? Every time. Don't put a number on that. Don't put a number on that. It's just how many times you get up? Every time. Because what's your option? What are your options there? Like after you have fallen down, you just, like that's what the rest of the verse says. The righteous one gets up, but the evil one, he just falls into mischief, into iniquity, and he lives in, you know, in the book of Hebrews, it tells us in the church to make sure. That's why I really appreciated Pastor Bailey's message. It says, make sure in the church that nobody fails to receive the grace of God. Hey, what amazing thing is happening in our hearts? Like, that's what we're doing. We're not making sure that people are not failing. You know, I mean, no, we don't want to fail. Right, we don't. Nobody wants to lose or, you know, have a defeat. But what does it tell us to make sure? It doesn't tell us make sure that nobody is messing up. Can you imagine? I mean, actually, probably you can. Unfortunately, maybe you've been in some places where that's what was basically like the idea in the leadership of the church, is what we're here for is to make sure nobody screws up. And they're probably messing up more than anybody. Because they're not, yeah, it's not grace. But so the more that we study the Bible, I want to write a word. Oh, I put it over here. I want to write some words here, some letters. You know that word? You know that word? You know that word? How about that word? I mean, when they write text messages now, they don't use YOU, it's just, how about that word there? Okay, and then we'll just put a Y at the end because why not? Okay, what word is that? What is it? Yeah, discontinuity. Can you see it? Discontinuity. But it's like, you know, you if you saw that, you go like, wait a minute, why didn't you just write it there, right? But this is sort of like in our lives. You know the word integrity? Like the word integrity, the idea of integrity is to be the same all the way through. Like in Spanish, like you say whole wheat, like if you go and you buy cereal, you know, you whole wheat cereal or whole wheat bread, you know, that means it has the whole grain, right? In Spanish, the word is integral, integral. Like, that's what it actually comes from. It means it's the same. You know, the same, in other words, like, I'm the same in the pulpit as I am in my bedroom. Wouldn't that be good? And I'm the same in the pulpit as I am in my job. Or I'm the same in the church. I'm the same. I come to church and I'm not, you know, my vocabulary doesn't change. Right? I don't have one vocabulary on the job and another vocabulary. So who am I with? Oh, okay, I gotta use this book. That's not integrity, right? It's actually it's like a discontinuous life. What's confusing, and that's sort of like a confusing way to write discontinuity. That's why I did it that way. See how smart I am? That's my one smart thing for 2022. Okay. Don't expect anything else. Maybe you said that wasn't very smart. It's okay. That's the smartest thing. I'm just saying it's the best thing I did so far this year. Maybe. I don't know. But he said this morning, you know, here's David holding up the head. And he said, I look out at the congregation, I look out at people, and he's thinking about individuals. He was talking to me a little bit, you know, thinking about this person, that person, that person, and thinking about their situation and their life. And he said, I just see victory. Right? Hey, doesn't the Bible say, you know, call those things that are not as though they are? Let the weak say, okay, what does the world say? Let the weak go through a 3-month strengthening program. Right? You're weak? Oh, you need a strengthening program. But actually, it doesn't say let the weak become strong. It says let the weak say. While I'm weak, I can say I am strong. You understand? It's like it's faith. You know, faith really is what makes us continuous. Faith is the thing that just is like, because many things in life are discontinuous. You know, something happens and then it doesn't turn out the way that I thought it was going to. Right? Have you ever had that? Like, you know, you had a plan and you thought it was a good plan. You even prayed about it, but it didn't turn out the way that you thought it would. Depending on somebody else, and then you say, oh, they weren't very dependable. Or maybe I wasn't so dependable either. But David goes with the head. We'll read a verse here, a couple of verses. So the last verse of chapter 17, or the last couple of verses, 57, David returned from striking down the Philistine. Abner took him and brought him before Saul with the head of the Philistine in his hand. And Saul said to him, whose son are you, young man? And David answered, I am the son of your servant Jesse, the Bethlehemite. Chapter 18 and verse 1. As soon as he had finished speaking to Saul. All right. So let's say a word. Immediately. Say that word. Okay, say it faster. But say it immediately, right after I say it. No, I'm just you guys are so good. Right away. Right away. This is, you know, like one of those times where there's no separation, there's not like, you know, no days, hours, minutes, nothing goes by between chapter 17 and chapter 18. Here's David with the head. Here's there's blood, you know. There's blood and gore. Like, David is standing there with the head of this huge head, right? This huge head in his hand. I suppose he's holding it up by the hair. I mean, it doesn't say that, but he's got it. But it says, as soon as he finished speaking to Saul, apparently he didn't put the head down. Like, put that head down before you go in. No. Hey, celebrate your victories. How about that? Would that be a good statement? Like, how about even a little victory? Right? Celebrate, you know, hey, I said no to that temptation for the first time in months, right? But if you said no, it's a victory, right? Yeah, so celebrate your victories. You know, that's really Zechariah chapter 4. Zechariah, it's like the fourth from the last book in the Old Testament, and short book. Zechariah chapter, relatively short anyway, I forget how many chapters. But in chapter 4, you know the story? How many of you know the story about Zechariah? He's a prophet. How many of you know this story about Zerubbabel? Who knows the names? You heard of it one time, the name Zerubbabel. Or two times, maybe. Okay, you didn't know. Alright, so Zerubbabel, when the Jews were in, they got taken away first to Assyria, then Assyria was conquered by Babylon, and the southern tribes were taken to Babylon. Then the Babylonians were conquered by the Persians and the Medes and the Persians. Anyway, so Zerubbabel, after the 70 years of captivity, they were allowed to return to Jerusalem. And Zerubbabel led a group back to go back to Jerusalem. And what was the idea? It was a good idea. It was not only good, it was God. Who called Zerubbabel back to Jerusalem? God. What was the call? Rebuild the what? Not the wall. That's Nehemiah. What did Zerubbabel rebuild? What? The temple. Yeah, somebody said it. The temple. He's called to rebuild the temple. But he goes, and he's like, you can imagine, you know, it's like, hey, it's like us here tonight. You know, hey, how about if tomorrow we just get our picnic lunches and everything, and we're going to, like, not a picnic lunch, we're going to just put everything in a U-Haul, the whole church, and we're going to go, and we're going to rebuild the temple. And we're all excited about it. We're like, woohoo, hey, you know. But you know what? There was opposition back in Jerusalem. Oh no. Is there opposition to you? There is, right? There's opposition. Yeah, Rosie, you come right over and you can. Are you translating, Joalda? Well, whoever wants to translate over there for those guys is great. Yeah. Thank you so much for taking care of that. Wow, I didn't even know you were doing that. So they go back to Jerusalem. There's opposition. Okay, we're all excited. We're doing it. You know, like we got a job to do. It's from God. Like, we're gonna rebuild the temple and worship in the temple again. And we're not going to be like our fathers that were unfaithful to God. And it was, they had a, it was a good vision from God in their hearts to do it. But 4 years go by, the Samaritans, it's like they build and then the Samaritans come and knock it down. They put something there. They buy a big screen, and the Samaritans come at night and rob it. I don't know if they had one of those or not. I probably not. But they're discouraged. Can you imagine that they could be discouraged if after 4 years, nothing much is happening? You know, not much is happening. 4 years. Some of the people go back. They're like, you know, little groups, this group, that group. Like, you know, this table decides we're out of here, Zerubbabel. You know, this is Zerubbabel over there. Just wave to everybody. We'll call him Zorro. So... You know, but that table says, we're out of here, sorry, see you in another time. And then one another table the next day, and then pretty soon he's like, you know, I'm like... But one of those groups of people that went back... Oh, I shouldn't move because it's filming me, right? Doesn't matter. Yeah, you don't need to see me anyway. Does my hair look okay? I did an interview with me and Pastor Doug Wombolt at the place, and we were both trying to, like, they were filming us for something that they're doing in Baltimore, and we were both trying to sit up higher in our chairs to be taller, and Pastor Doug says, I got him, don't I? And Pastor Bruce Wright says, no, he's got you because of the hair. He's got hair. And Pastor Doug says, oh, we're going there now, you know, no hair. Anyway, so 4 years, nothing much is happening. They're discouraged. You could turn there if you want to, like Zechariah. This isn't what I was gonna preach or teach tonight. But this is a good chapter, good verse for us. Maybe this is a good one for us. You know, the Jews wrote, when they wrote, they wrote history. Like, no other culture. The Babylonians wrote, right? The Assyrians wrote, the Romans wrote, All the Egyptians wrote, but you know what they wrote? They wrote stuff like, okay, well, this guy was king, and then he did this, and then he died. And then this guy was king, and then he did this, and then this happened, and then, you know. But the Jews wrote about people and God. You know why? Because God has a will, and you have a will. That's why you're significant. If we didn't have a will, we might as well just be. That's why the Babylonians, they don't write it there. You don't see anything in Babylon's, in none of their like writings about their history. You don't see anything about like Ruth and Naomi and Boaz. There's nothing like that. There's nothing like David telling, like, man, I'm thirsty. I wish I had a drink of water from the well of Bethlehem. And then two guys get up and run, you know, and they go. There's nothing like that in anybody else's history. Why did the Jews do that? Why did they write about, and they didn't even just write about their successes, they wrote about their failures too. Why? Because of continuity. It's because of, like, it matters. Like the history, God has a will. God says, here's my commandments. God told Moses, gave Moses the commandments, right? And then, you know, what are the commandments? The revealed will of God. How do we know thou shalt not commit adultery? How do we know that God doesn't want you to commit adultery? Because he said, this is my will. My will is that you don't commit. Now, a man can say, but I don't care about God's will, right? And I'm going to do it anyways. Or a man can submit to God's will. Oh, this is where history comes from. This is real history. Anyway, Zechariah chapter 4. And I'm going to just close with this. This is my part of this. The angel, this is verse 1 of chapter 4 of Zechariah. The angel talked with me, he came again and woke me like a man who is awakened out of his sleep. And he said to me, "What do you see?" And I said, "I see and behold a lampstand, all of gold, with a bowl on the top of it." Have you ever seen a bowl on the top of a lampstand? Can you even imagine a bowl on the top of a lampstand? Does that even make sense? It doesn't even, it's like, what? There's a lampstand and a bowl is on the top of it. What's a bowl doing? Seven lamps on it, with seven lips on each of the lamps that are on the top of it. And there are two olive trees by it. I can understand better the olive trees. One on the right and one other on the left. Maybe the provision of because the olive trees were where they got the oil for lighting the lamp. And so it's the provision, the constant provision of the Spirit of God. But I said to the angel who talked with me, I said, "What are these? What, you know?" I mean, he said the same thing I would have said. "What the heck is this?" That's my translation. Yeah. "What in the world is this?" And the angel and the angel talked with me and answered and said to me, "Don't you know what these are?" And I said, I mean, it's hilarious that this is written down for us like this, right? You know, I said to the angel, "What is this?" And he says, "Don't you know what it is?" And I said, "No, I don't know." And he said to me, "This is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel." What's the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel? How is Zerubbabel feeling? Is he encouraged or is he discouraged? He's very discouraged, right? Because he had is his call from God or no? Listen, is his when things are not going right, does that mean your call is not from God? It doesn't mean that, right? Okay, there's opposition. He's discouraged. God says, "I want you to tell him." It's not by an army. You know, it's so easy for us to think, "I just need more people. If I had more people, if I had more people on the team, then we could do a lot more. Boy, I need an army. I need an army of people." God says, it's not, that's what the word means, it's not by might or like military, not by an army. It's not by an army. It's not by, you think you need that, you think you need money, you think you need, it's not. It's not by might, it's not by power, but by my Spirit. And he says, "Who are you, O great mountain? Before Zerubbabel, you shall become a plain." The mountain of discouragement. The mountain of, like, nothing is happening. Nothing. 4 years, a lot of work, and nothing is happening. You know what happens? Like, that table there of guys that told Zerubbabel, "We're out of here, we're going back to Babylon." They go. When they get there, who do they meet but Nehemiah? They meet Nehemiah. And Nehemiah says, "Hey, you guys just came back from Jerusalem. You guys were over there with Zerubbabel." You know? This is Nehemiah chapter 1, by the way. Like, read your Bible. Like, I know you do, but I'm just saying. The Bible is amazing. There is no discontinuity in the Bible. It's the continuous revelation of God. It's incredible. It gives us significance for our lives. So they say to Nehemiah, "Oh, it's not good." They tell him how bad things are over there. They tell him that's just not good at all. And Nehemiah takes a few days off of work. He's the, you know, by the way, Nehemiah did not have a construction company. It wasn't Nehemiah's wall construction, you know. What was Nehemiah's job? Like, give coffee to the king. You know, make a pot of coffee and give. That's what he did. He's a copero. I'm using the Spanish word, but it doesn't matter. He's bringing wine or whatever to the king. He's not thinking of himself like, oh, I know, I can go and construct a wall. What Nehemiah is he is interested. He is interested. You know, like, honestly, if I could just say one word to you, have integrity, be the same, be interested. This is not, don't have discontinuity. You get it by just staying in the Word. It gives it to you. They talk to Nehemiah. Nehemiah prays and fasts for a few days, goes to see the king. Not even going to see the king to ask for anything. He's just like sad, and the king asks him why he's sad, and you know the story, right? Then the king tells Nehemiah, well, what do you want to do? And Nehemiah's like, go back to Jerusalem, and, you know, could you give me provisions? Yeah, what else do you need? How about permission and, you know, people and, you know, provisions and everything? Yeah, whatever you need. Have all the wood and everything that you want. And he goes, and how many days did it take him? Four years Zerubbabel was doing nothing. You know, but he was there by the will of God, but nothing much was apparently happening. And one of these tables leaves and goes back, and it would be easy for Zerubbabel to go like, oh no, another discouragement. But instead of a discouragement, what happened is God is going to use them to talk to Nehemiah. Nehemiah is going to come, going to rebuild the wall in 52 days. And then soon after, then the temple goes up. The people are worshiping. And you know what it says right after that? Don't despise the day of small things. Right? Yeah. Okay. All right. So Pastor Arturo.
Buenas tardes con todos ustedes.
Good afternoon, everyone.
Me siento con mucho gozo y alegría de estar con ustedes.
I have a lot of joy and happiness to be with you guys.
Y gracias por haberlo traído.
And thank you. Thanks God for bringing you here.
Hemos escuchado ya un mensaje de Pastor Stan.
We already heard a message from Pastor Stan.
Él es mi pastor, el que me enseñó, me discipuló.
He's my pastor, he discipled me.
And
against my will, he made me a pastor in Peru. And it was fun.
I
didn't have any idea. He was planning to go to Argentina, and he called a couple of guys from our church in one place. And I got there the last one. I was the last one there. And he said, Arturo, you're going to be the pastor in Peru, in the church. And he said, don't joke with me like that. And he said, no, yeah. And everybody looked at me and said, yeah, you're going to be the pastor. And I didn't believe that. And that's how that happens. And I said, if this God's calling and this is His will, and this has been like 7 years so far. And thank you, Pastor Stan. This morning, Pastor Christian, he ended up his preaching saying, God is always faithful and just to forgive our sins, all our sins. And we have to take this really serious. We shouldn't be familiar with this. Confess your sin. Oh, yeah, God is faithful and just. And can be that in our life we're not confessing our sins. And when one God's child doesn't confess their sin, he's in troubles. Psalms 38, one good man of God is in a really bad, big deal. His conscience is condemning him of his bad will or iniquity. And in verse 3 says, there's no soundness in my flesh because of your anger, nor any health in my bones because of my sin. For my iniquities have gone over my head like a heavy burden. They are too heavy for me. My wounds are full and festering because of my foolishness. He's saying he doesn't have peace on his bones, any health on his bones. My wounds are full and festering. He's describing an internal enemy, an enemy that he has inside of him. And next verses, so in verse 6 says, I'm troubled, I'm bowed down greatly, I go mourning all the day long.
En el verso 8 dice, estoy debilitado y molido.
In verse 8 says, I'm feebly and severely broken.
En gran manera.
And severely broken.
Entonces vemos cómo es la situación de alguien que su conciencia le acusa de sus pecados.
And we see here somebody's conscience is condemning him about his sin.
Tiene una conciencia culpable.
Is a condemning conscience.
Llena de agonía. De vergüenza.
Agony. Full of agony, shame.
De vergüenza, duda.
Doubt.
Dolor.
Dolor. Pain. Yes.
Y enfermedad física en su propio cuerpo.
And sickness in his own body. And at the end of verse 10 says, as for the light of my eyes, it also has gone from me. He was living in darkness. And that happens when one of the God's child doesn't confess their sin. And like Pastor Christian was teaching this morning, we have to confess our sins. And that is walking in light too.
Pero también nosotros podemos encontrar otro hombre de Dios.
And we also can find another man of God.
En 2 Corintios 1, 12,
2 Corinthians 1:12.
El apóstol Pablo en contraste con el salmista.
Where?
2
Corinthians 1:12. I said first, right? I'm sorry. Okay. for our Boston is this, the testimony of our conscience that we conduct ourselves in the world in simplicity and godly sincerity, not with fleshy wisdom, but by the grace of God and more abundantly towards you. The Apostle Paul is enjoying of a clean conscience. Like in contrast with this, the person who's writing this psalm that is depressed, sick. And the thing is, like, the Apostle Paul wasn't perfect. And it's not that he didn't sin. But the point is, the sin wasn't reigning in his life. Romans 6:14. 6:14, right? For the sin shall not have dominion over you. And verse 17 said, but God be thanked. It's not that I'm thankful with God because I don't sin.
Gracias a Dios, aunque era esclavo del pecado,
it says, but God be thanked that though you were slave of sin,
habéis obedecido de corazón,
you obeyed from the heart
a aquella,
that form of
forma de doctrina,
that form of doctrine
a la cual fuisteis entregado,
to which you were delivered.
La doctrina, ¿cuál doctrina?
Which doctrine?
De la gracia de Dios.
Of the grace of God. The finished work.
Entonces, él está
so he's living one moment of joy.
Él no está triste, no está
it's not sad, embarrassed.
En Hechos 23:1,
Acts 23:1.
Él mira fijamente al concilio, los mira fijamente.
Okay, hold on. Esperemos un segundo.
At the
okay, okay.
Y le dice, yo ando con mi buena conciencia.
I walk with my clean conscience before God. He was able to look in any moment, even though he has issues and problems in his life, he had a clean conscience. The main point is that we be exonerate yet
del pago
of the payment
por nuestros
pecados. From our sins.
Dios ya no nos va a cobrar a nosotros.
God is not going to charge us for our sins no more.
Porque Jesús lo pagó.
Because Jesus paid for it.
Hebrews
10:10 and 10:14.
Con un solo
sacrificio. Only one sacrifice, made one time and forever, we are sanctified and we are perfect. And that's what he's saying to us. The Bible's saying it. And always we have seen it inside of us. The one who said doesn't have sin on him is a liar. But how we deal with the sin that we have inside of us. And we're going to make it here.
In
1 Samuel. Chapter
15. Verso 3. 1 Samuel 15 y verso 3.
15:3. I'm sorry. 1 Samuel 15:3.
Dios le da una orden al rey Saúl.
God gave an order to Saul, the king, Saul.
Después, y hiere a Amalek.
So he said, now go and attack Amalek.
Y destruye todo lo que tiene.
And utterly destroy all that they have.
No te apiades de él.
And do not spare them.
Mata a hombres.
But kill both of men and women.
Niños.
Infant
and
nursing child,
vacas,
ox of sheep,
ovejas,
camel,
camellos,
and donkey.
Y
can we have water, please? Some water? Thank you.
Entonces Dios le está dando una orden que extermine a Amalek y a su tribu.
So,
totalmente. God is
giving an instruction to kill everybody. Don't leave anything from Amalek. Amalek?
Pero ¿cuál es el resultado?
But what's the result?
De este mandato que Dios le da a Saúl.
Of this commandment that God gave to Saul. Thank you, Pastor Bailey.
Cumple a medias.
He accomplished it, but just, you know, half of it, you know.
No obedece totalmente.
He didn't obey God completely.
Trae al rey de los amalecitas.
So he brought the king of the Amalek king.
Pero no trae la cabeza.
But he didn't bring the head. He didn't bring the head.
Lo trae todo.
Yeah, he didn't bring the head. He brought him walking. It's a complete package. And he brought the best that they had. The best of the animals that they had. The soldiers were distracted. Choosing the best donkey, the best, you know, camel, the best animal that they had. And some of the people from Amalek, they ran away.
Pero luego,
but after,
el profeta Samuel le dice, porque has desechado la palabra de Dios.
But after Samuel said, why you, ¿dónde dice eso? In verse 23 says, because you have rejected the word of the Lord.
Él también te ha desechado para que no seas rey.
He also has rejected you from being king.
Y ahora,
and now,
está Agab,
now we have Agar.
Tráiganmelo.
And Samuel said, bring him over. Bring him over. Bring him, bring the king over. The killer. Like all the people around him used to be scared of him. And he came. And the Bible says in verse 32. It says, so Agag came to him cautiously. So he said, surely the bitterness of that is past. Pay attention to this. Samuel, you know, they already passed. The fight already passed. I want to be your friend. Make a room for me like the one that I have here in the church. You know, the battle's over. We don't need to fight no more. But God says, kill him. And what was Samuel's answer, the way how he answered when this king present himself in this way? The answer that Samuel says to him, and he said, I'm going to kill you. At the end of verse 33,
entonces Samuel cortó en pedazos.
So it says in Samuel Hackett, a God in pieces before the Lord in Gilgal.
Muy bien.
Okay.
Entonces,
so
estos amalecitas que habían escapado,
the people from Amalek that ran away,
más adelante,
after
en Samuel 30, en 1 Samuel 30, 17,
1 Samuel 30, 17,
atacaron a la casa de David.
They attack David's house.
Pero esto, ¿qué nos debe enseñar?
What this is, should teach us?
Cuando nosotros somos salvos por la gracia de Dios,
when we are saved by grace,
todavía queda pecado en nosotros.
We still haven't seen on us. Sin on us.
Amalecitas en nosotros.
There are some people from Amalek that
todavía
stay in us.
Dentro de nosotros.
It's an agar inside of us.
Que nos quiere engañar.
That want to lie to us.
Y nosotros no debemos tener,
and we shouldn't
ninguna misericordia
have any mercy
con esos amalecitas.
with these people from Amalek inside of us, because they want to be more powerful and they want to destroy us. Like those ones who ran away and came back and attacked David. And one child of God should have a continuous life killing those people from Amalek, cutting in pieces to a God who want to kill us. Oh, do you like pornography? Oh, continue enjoying it then. Continue trying drugs, more powerful. Well, your sins are already forgiven, right? We should do like Samuel. Or should we do like Samuel or Saul? We should be like Samuel. Cut it in pieces when those ideas come to our hearts. And that's a way of life of one of God's child. And ending up here, closing, some portions that help us in our practical life to kill those Amalek people, to kill those Agar in our that want to lie to us first. We should abstain from sinful desires. 1 Peter 2:11. Beloved, I beg you of sojourner and pilgrim, abstain from fleshing lusts with warm against the soul.
Esos deseos carnales batallan contra nuestra alma.
Those sinful desires
battle
with our soul. That was the problem
en una batalla,
in Psalm.
En su alma.
It was a battle inside of him.
Totalmente deprimido,
totally depressed and defeated.
1
Corinthians 6:18. Run away from fornication.
Huid de la fornicación.
Run away from it.
Romans
13:14.
Vestidos del Señor Jesucristo.
Dress from el Señor Jesucristo. Like dress from Jesus Christ, like,
oh, yeah.
I don't know how that verse goes. ¿Cuál es el verso? 6:18. Romans 13:14. Yeah, that's the verse. Yes. I'm sorry. Perdón.
Entonces, cuando nos vestimos de nuestro Señor Jesucristo.
So when we put off the Lord Jesus Christ,
para los deseos de la carne.
We don't have provisions to the flesh.
No estamos distrayéndonos.
We are not distracting ourselves. For those Amalek people who ran away and come back after and destroyed us,
nos enfocamos en Cristo.
We are focused in Christ. And we we put off the Lord Jesus Christ. Psalm
119:11.
In my heart I keep your words
para no pecar.
to not sin. The word of God, we have to keep it. It's not just listening. Keep it in our hearts to be guided for that word. In any circumstance in our lives, Saul, he acted different than Samuel. God says, destroy it, kill it. And Samuel did it. That commandment he kept in his heart. The only thing that he heard is like, kill it, you know? And that's what we have to do. When that counsel comes to us and the temptation comes to us, don't have mercy. Destroy it totally, like God has said. Joshua 1:8.
Nunca se apartará de tu boca.
This word never be a part of your mouth.
Este libro de la ley.
This book of the law.
Sino que.
But what?
De día y de noche.
Day and night.
En él.
You will meditate on it.
Tenemos que estar meditando la.
We have to be meditating on the word. And God is talking to us. And there is joy in our hearts. And when we keep the word in our heart, we are keeping the power of God inside of us. We are living in the Spirit. And the result is that we are not going to satisfy the desire of our flesh. We are focusing in the word. We are meditating on. We listen in the service. And we are overbuilt in our houses. We come to Bible college. We go to outreach. We go to a mission trip. And our focus is in God and His Word. And ending up here, Matthew 26:41. Pay attention to this portion, please. Matthew 26:41. And it says here, watch and pray, lest you enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. The Lord is saying, watch and pray. Our life like a child of God, like a servant of God, is watch and pray. And when we are watching and praying, we do not enter into temptation. We're not entering in temptation. And that's how we live. Because that's what God said. And that's what He established. And here's His word. And we should obey. And we shouldn't give concessions and distractions to the word. The desires of our eyes and not even the vanaglory of the life, and we continue firm. Thank you.
Amen. Gloria a Dios. No, that was very good.